look in the table of contents. When I first became a Christian, I didn't know where anything was. So when the pastor would say, turn to such a place, I just turn anywhere and pretend like I had it. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're talking about the ministry of refreshment. Well, thank you so much. Look at this. Hey, hooray. Let's clap our hands for a PowerPoint lady back there. Amen. I mean, she's on it, brother. I'm telling you. God bless you. Thank you for your help. All right. Now look at this one. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. Now read this next phrase out loud with me. So Saul was, say that word out loud. Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now the word refresh me here means to breathe freely. It means to revive. It means to be enlarged. David used his gift of music to refresh and restore the soul of Saul. Notice the second reference in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Can we flip forward to that one? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Read this out loud with me. The Lord give mercy. Read this out loud with me. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Amen. Now, this word refreshed here means to cool off, like when you're hot. It means to relieve. So Onesiphorus was like a glass of ice cold water on a scorching hot day. He refreshed often the spirit of Saul. Now notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, read it out loud, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Now Titus got into the company of these Corinthians who weren't perfect. It wasn't a perfect church. But nevertheless, he got refreshed in their presence. Now the word refresh here means to give rest. So the Corinthians brought comfort and rest to Titus. He was refreshed by being with these individuals. And I've got one more in Romans chapter 15, verse 32. Notice this one, Romans 15, 32. Paul said that I might come unto you with joy by the will of God, read it out loud, and may be with you refreshed. I guess if the guy leading could read it right. And may with you be refreshed. Now, notice what Paul was saying here. He's talking about being refreshed in people's company. He's talking about a joint mutual benefit. And Paul knew that if he got around these people here at Rome, that they all would be encouraged and refreshed. Now we live in a world of agitators, aggravators, irritators, analysts, selfish drivers, grumblers, whiners, critics, and scoffers. But the church of the living God should be a community of refreshment. And we need more refreshers. So tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the characteristics of a refresher. I want to exhort you tonight to be an exhorter. I want to empower you to empower other people. Now, let me give you 7 or 8 points here on how to have the ministry of refreshment. And if you go through the Bible, you'll find there's lots of references. I think there's around 10 about refresh or refreshed, these words. We just looked at 4 of them tonight. But notice, first of all, if you're going to have the spirit of a refresher, number one, you have to have a positive attitude. Amen. You have to have a positive attitude. How many of you think that Brother Mix is an upbeat kind of guy? I looked up the word mix. It means to blend together. Okay? And he can blend that lunch together. I'll tell you that right now. But I know he's got an upbeat spirit. Well, you refresh people when you have a positive attitude. Now listen, you got to spend your life focusing on what you love instead of what you hate. Attitude is a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. Your attitude is a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. That means you can cultivate a positive attitude. Even if you're not by nature one of these kind of people, you can work at this. Now, you can go out of your way to say good morning when you show up to church or good evening when you show up to church. Amen. Greet everybody you see with a smile. Amen. Let your mouth overflow with grace. Amen. Don't be critical. Let no corrupt communication, that word corrupt means putrid communication. When I was growing up in Southside Virginia, we used to have a potato field. And I know you're a city slicker, so you ain't going to get it, so I'll explain it to you. We used to plant these potatoes, and come the middle of August, we'd go out there and plow those things up, and my brother and I, it was our job to go pick them up. Well, a rotten potato smells really, really bad, okay? Like, really, really bad. So I reached my hand in the ground, and the potato, kind of half in the ground, half out, and it was unstable. The skin was intact, but the insides were liquefied. It was a corrupt potato. It was a putrid potato. It was a rotten potato. Well, I picked it up carefully and didn't break the skin. My brother was about from here to here, and he saw what I was going to do. I used to pitch baseball, and he saw what was coming, so he turned around, and he headed off. Buddy, I took that rotten, unstable potato. I planted that thing dead center in the middle of his back. That thing splattered open. His mouth splattered out whatever contents were in his stomach. And when he was through with that, he splattered my face with his fist because it was a rotten, putrid potato. Now, the Bible says don't let any kind of rotten, filthy, putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying. Now, Paul forbids gossip. He talks about debates, envyings, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. I want to tell you, an optimist can find opportunity in every calamity. An optimist can find opportunity in every calamity, but a pessimist can find calamity in every opportunity. And refreshers are people who choose to look on the sunny side. They choose to have a positive attitude. They speak life, pointed encouragement based on facts. Let me tell you about a refresher. They impart energy. They're putter-inners. They're not taker-outers. They put life and hope into you, and they don't drink. You ever get around some people, and you're trying to be like a Christian, but you're really wishing they would hurry up and leave because the story goes on and on, and like they're trying to demonstrate eternity in what they're telling you. And by the time you finish listening to them, you're so worn out, you've got to go home and take a nap for 2 or 3 days because they suck the life right out of you. Well, if we're going to be refreshers, we're going to have to be energy givers and not energy takers. Can I tell you that your spirit communicates as loudly as your words? Amen. Your very presence can lift people. Amen. Your very presence can lift people. You know people like this. Yep. Manly Beasley one time, he was an example of faith because he had 21 unrelated terminal illnesses. How many know that most people have one terminal illness and that pretty well takes care of it? Yeah. But he'd get healed and he'd come up with another unrelated terminal illness. One time he was in the hospital. He was in such horrific pain. 6 Baptist preachers had flown in to try to cheer him up. And they weren't having much success. When all of a sudden, in walks this slumpy, homely, dumpy, old-fashioned, a woman, it was Corrie Ten Boom. And Manly Beasley said, the second she walked into the room, he said, I don't know whether that room went to heaven or whether heaven came to that room. But he said that when she walked into the room, Jesus walked in. His pain didn't cease, but his ability to cope with it did. Why? Because she was a refresher. Amen. I want to tell you, your attitude is a little thing that goes a long way. It's a little thing that goes a long way. Your thoughts can lift people or depress people. Even young people. I mean, look, what's in your mind will translate into an atmosphere. And your thoughts give birth to words. You know why we say what we say? It's the overflow of our hearts. It's the overflow of our hearts. And what you dwell on will find expression in your words. A kind word can heal, can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. Constructive speech flows out of a happy heart. And I want to tell you that refreshers intentionally attempt to connect with people. They're the ones who visit others. They're the ones who sit, who listen, who talk. And I want to tell you that a positive attitude is absolutely contagious. Paul longed to be with these Roman Christians because he knew everybody would benefit from it. You know, as an evangelist, I go to a lot of places. And some places we go, it's not because I think anything's going to happen, but because I like to be with the people. Amen. And I just go for mutual edification. Just go for mutual benefit. And I want to tell you, it's those folks that have a positive attitude. So you can speak to others about Jesus. You can write notes of encouragement. Have a positive attitude. Say that out loud. Positive attitude. Notice number two, to be an encourager, a refresher, you got to have genuine concern. Genuine concern. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what the word compassion means? It means to suffer together. Compassion, suffer. Passion, suffer, come. It means to suffer together, to be compassionate. We're talking about fellow sufferers. I got news for you. We're all fellow saints. We're all fellow sufferers. And we're all fellow sinners. You know what it means to be empathetic? Empathetic, it's sensing what's going on in somebody else's heart because of experience or trying to place yourself in their shoes. I'll tell you, empathy is me feeling your pain in my heart. Empathy is me feeling your pain in my heart. Compassion is when you enter into another person's sufferings with a desire to lessen their pain. I may know that even animals can tell if you like them. You know, when you go in the home of a pet lover, by the way, I was up in Vermont one time, the Socialist Republic of Vermont. Now, we could say that about the whole country now, but back then they were kind of, they were out there. But and the people where I stayed in their home, they were pet lovers. Now, how many know that pet lovers are totally oblivious to the fact that not everybody is as wild about their ill-tempered, bad-breath dogs as they are? Not everybody is overboard enthusiastic, but they're unaware that not everybody thinks as much of their dogs. And I found out that when the dog comes up and he's sniffing on you and, you know, he's trying to get your food and all this kind of stuff, if you'll ignore him for about 5 minutes, he'll get the hint. And he'll kind of just leave. Now, you know, if animals can tell if you like them, I want to tell you, people can tell if you care for them or not. They can sense it. And, you know, the greatest gift you can give somebody is your time and your concern. That's the greatest gift you can give. And I want to tell you that concern should drive us into action, not into depression. I don't know about you, but I know so many people that have so many problems. And sometimes it becomes overwhelming. You hate to answer the telephone for fear you're going to get another bad report, and you're already loaded up with about all you can handle. We got a call from my friend. He's a pastor in Pennsylvania who has advanced prostate cancer, who's being treated at NIH in Bethesda. They come home from the clinic only to discover their 37-year-old son has hung himself in the attic of the house. And he called me up and told me. He's a good friend. I said to my wife, I said, we've got to go and be with our friends. So, buddy, we loaded up. We drove 8 hours. I didn't feel like it, but I didn't have nothing to do with it. They needed us. And I said, before everybody shows up, we're going to sit with them. We're going to love them. We're going to listen to them. We're going to try to get them to laugh. And understand we're friends. And we're going to pray with them. And we're just going to be with them. Compassionate people are available when you need them. They're never in a hurry. And I want to tell you, if you take a real interest in helping other people to succeed, you'll be a refresher. What does this mean? Don't rush out of church. Speak to everybody you can. Invite people over to your home for a meal. Seek out the visitors who show up. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help bear somebody else's load. Have a positive attitude. Show genuine concern. Number three, to be a refresher, you got to learn how to be a good listener. A good listener. Somebody said there's no greater loan than a sympathetic ear. No greater loan than a sympathetic ear. Silence is often more beneficial than advice. Now, how do people feel after they spend time with you in private? How do you think they feel? How do you think they feel? Now, I'll think if you just listen to people, And not interject all the time, you can help people. Amen. I was with this guy. I sat there. He wanted to tell me something. I sat there for 30 minutes and listened, and I did listen. I looked him right in the eye. I paid attention. After it was all over, he said, you are so refreshing. Amen. And all I had to do was sit there and keep my mouth closed. I mean, that's all I had to do. And if you want to refresh people, just be alert. How many of you know that people need somebody to listen to them? Huh? How many know that some people have nobody to talk to, and when you show up, they just take it all out on you? Amen? But if you'll be a good listener, you can encourage people. Now, Job's friends helped him as long as they kept silent. But the moment they opened their mouth, they lost their ministry to their friend. Now, we were with Roy Hessian. My wife and I flew from Seattle way back in the dark ages. They'd just come up with airplanes. And we flew from Seattle to Detroit to hear Roy Hessian, who wrote The Calvary Road. This is a world-renowned author and preacher. Well, we got to go out to eat with the guy, and we wanted to hear about him. But he would have nothing of it. And he was all the time asking us questions about us, and I didn't want to talk about us. We were boring. We wanted to hear about him, but you know what? He was just all I had this interest. His focus was on us. Now, if you give yourself completely to the people you're speaking with, if you just let them talk it out, don't interrupt. If they stutter, don't try to predict what the next word is going to be. Make eye contact. Intentionally focus on that person. If you'll sit there and listen without making commentary, and without begging clarification on every point, you can help people. And if you'll just do that, after they've talked themselves through the whole thing, they'll give you tremendous credit for having fantastic wisdom when all you did was keep your big mouth shut. It's amazing. You can refresh people by being a good listener. Now, don't be a busybody. You're not going to refresh people by down-talking people. You're not going to refresh anybody. He that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue, said the Puritan, and he that receives a slander carries the devil in his ear. Anybody can find dirt in others. You be the one to find the gold. Amen. You know, when somebody's going through it, maybe they didn't react so good. You know what I've come to learn? You know, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I think they're doing really well not to do any worse than what they did. I was talking to a friend of mine one time, and I opened my big mouth, and I said stuff I shouldn't have said, and I went back and I apologized, and I said, brother, I just want to ask you to forgive me because I shouldn't have said all that stuff. And you know what he said? He said, I've done worse. And rather than criticizing the people for how bad they're doing, we ought to thank God they're doing as good as they are. Amen? So be a good listener. Now, number four, you want to be a refresher, honest communication. I said honest communication. A word spoken in season, how good it is. You know, a compliment is like verbal sunshine. It's like verbal sunshine. Somebody said a pat on the back, though only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, is miles ahead in results. Honest communication. What's in the well is going to come up in the bucket. You know, before I became a Christian, I had a filthy mouth. By the time I was six, I could have written a profanity dictionary. It was bad. I mean, I grew up with taking God's name in vain and all kinds of stuff. Then I went off to school and added to my repertoire of bad words. But you know, when I became a Christian, I quit cussing. I just quit cussing. Now, I remember one time, I was fishing. Now, I like to go fishing. We had this river where I could go and I could catch these striped bass, man, as long as my leg. I got pretty long legs. Okay? And I was going down the bank one day, and I was going to jump over this little stream. And I could jump pretty good, but I went and ran and jumped and made it halfway. Down in the middle of this sinkhole, up to here, freezing cold. And before I knew it, I'd just become a Christian. Before I knew it, out of my mouth came unsavory speech. I took God's name in vain. Oh, man, the moment I did that, I was smitten. I bowed my head. I didn't even try to get out. I was just in the quicksand. I said, dear God, forgive me for dishonoring your name. And from that day to this, at least verbally, I've never, ever taken the name of God in vain. And I want to tell you that if you'll have honest communication, pure communication, you will be able to refresh other people. Now, hang on to this for a minute. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Honest communication. Say what you mean what you say. Now, never give false praise. Never give false praise. Always be straightforward. Non-wavering, direct communication. Now, don't speak in code. Don't make people try to figure out what you're saying. Always be truthful. I have a friend, and we're really good friends, and he had a bad habit, an unconscious habit of saying something he shouldn't say. And he was all the time saying, when he'd get excited, like, bless G-O-D, okay? And it wasn't like, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, but it was like an expression of surprise, like, bless G-O-D. Anybody ever heard somebody do that? That's blasphemy, okay? That's using God in a light, trivial, useless way, his name in a wrong way. So, you know, I'm grieved by this. He's my friend. We're alone. We're getting ready to pray. And I said, now, brother, look, I just got to say something to you. And I didn't read him the riot act, but I said, you know, this probably, it'd be better if you use some other language other than this. And I explained it to him. And he thanked me for that little tidbit. Somebody came in and he said, hey, praise God. Brother Harold just rebuked me. But I mean, I wasn't being ugly to him, but he was glad. How many of you are glad that you got a few people that'll speak the truth into your life? If you got a pastor and a youth pastor and a mother and a father that'll speak the truth into your life, you're a happy person. Honest communication refreshes people. Now, sometimes you got to have private conversations with people. There's things you don't need to say to everybody, but you need to say to somebody. And I was at a prayer advance, and the pastor got up and he spoke on this particular thing, which was a word of correction to my heart. It was honest communication that applied directly to me, and I was appreciative for his honest communication. Now, your best friends will always tell you the truth. You know, I know who to go to if I want to get a wanted response. Sometimes you need to go to the people that you don't think is going to give you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Eh? And I want to tell you, it's refreshing. Now, the people you enjoy being with are your friends. They're the people that make you laugh. Now, can I tell you something? Not everything is drop dead serious. There is a time to rejoice, have fun, cut up. I like going out with the mixes because we're all the time coming up with stuff and they're saying all kinds of things. And you know, you just enjoy being around some people. Happiness is a commodity that is not diminished when you share it. Amen. So be a Monday morning encourager. Email your pastor a note. Pastor, that was a tremendous Sunday school lesson on Isaiah chapter 66. I'm going to be praying you'll get your eschatology straightened out, but it was a tremendous message, and I appreciate that so much. I'm only kidding. All right. That was a great... Now, encourage... the people that sing. Didn't Mrs. Mix do a good job singing here tonight? Are you young people thankful? Thankful, Brother Stephen's wife here? Being shepherds here? Looking over your hearts? Encourage them. Send them a text. Send them a note. Better yet, send them a gift card. Do something nice. Your Sunday school teacher. Listen, if there's any praise, hand it out. And I'm just telling you, honest communication. If somebody blesses you, you ought to thank them. I mean, there's some people that don't know how to receive. I'm just going to say this right here. If somebody gives you hundreds of dollars, you should thank them to their face for what they've done. I am amazed at how poor some Christians are at the art of receiving and gratitude. I'm talking about hundreds of dollars and not even a note. Not even a thank you. Not that you're given to get recognized, but how many of you know that you're more likely to give to the guy the next time if he shows some appreciation for the last time? Yeah. Honest communication. So if you can bless some people with the truth, then just go for it and do it. All right, here's another one. You want to be a refresher? You do it with obvious faith. Obvious faith. Obvious faith. Pray prayers of faith. Don't pray prayers of doubt. Your prayers ought to have more exclamation points after them than question marks. Okay? And I know our crowd is really afraid, really, really afraid to get out of the boat and believe that we actually possess what we ask for in prayer. Now, look, pray prayers of faith for people. Don't interrogate people when they're sick. Well, what's the prognosis? Well, what's the doctor saying? Don't give them the statistics about rates of survival if you've studied and looked into the matter. I got sick one time. I got diagnosed with something one time. A friend of mine sent me an email. He said, Brother Harold, a cousin of mine had that, and he didn't last 2 years. Don't say stuff like that. Don't say stuff like that. Listen, the people are already struggling. So ask God to intervene and speak faith into their life, and your faith will inspire people. And by the way, resist the temptation to give out your surefire cure-all health food remedy. Amen? Just resist that temptation. And just have an obvious faith. Now, words of faith encourage people. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's refreshing. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. You know what he did? He gave him a verbal, mental photograph of his future. God told Abraham, your seed is going to be like the sand of the sea. Painted him a mental photograph of his future and of his destiny. And I'm telling you, you can speak life into people like that. Amen. I had a man this year sit down with me and tell me such fantastical things. He spoke faith into my life. Amen. He painted such a vision, such a dream, and this is a well-known person. He put this whole thing out. He said, Brother Harold, you could have 200,000 people praying on the Capitol steps. And I mean, these kind of magnitude things, which I have no desire to get 200,000 people on the Capitol steps. I'd like to get 200,000 people praying in their own closet. But anyhow, he was inspiring me. He was talking into me with words of faith. Now, a timely word does a world of good. One pastor said to me in Pennsylvania, he said, Harold, the conservative churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. That's what he said. He said, they're not the life-giving churches. How many of you know that our ministry should impart life? Our words should impart life. And we should breathe life into people as snow in the cold, a time of, as the cold and snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. He refreshes their soul, and a faithful messenger will refresh people at obvious faith. You know, you say, well, somebody's got a problem over here. Well, why don't we just go ahead and believe God to remedy that problem? Why not just shoot the moon and go ahead and believe God to heal the guy? I mean, what's wrong with that? I meet with a guy tomorrow that's got lymphoma. The doctor said you got a 35% chance of survival in response to the chemotherapy. 35%. He had the scan this week. He's going to get the report this week. I've been reminding myself, I'm still believing no matter what it looks like. Amen. It don't make any difference what it looks like. And let me tell you something. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to get beyond what you can see and what you feel. You're going to have to rise above what you see and what you feel. And I'm going to tell you, faith ain't got nothing to do with what you see and nothing to do with how you feel. And if you want to refresh people, just believe God on their behalf. Number six, you want to refresh people, be a generous giver. Be a generous giver. Charles Dickens said this, no one is useless who lightens the burdens of another. No one is useless who lightens the burdens of another. More people fail for lack of encouragement than any other reason. Think about it. Look at your own life. How many people speak encouragement into your life? Just think about it. Just think about it. And if you don't have very many, then you ought to make it a point to go ahead and start speaking encouragement into the lives of other people and sowing into them. Purpose to be a need meter. Now, the Bible says of the Corinthians, in chapter 8, that in a great trial of affliction, and the abundance, they had abundance of joy. They were going through the ringer, man. In the great trial of affliction, they had this abundance of joy, and yet their deep poverty, by the way, if a person makes $20,000 a year, he's in the top 2% wage earners in the entire world. Welfare people make more in America than most people make everywhere else on purpose. That's right. But here in Corinth, they had deep poverty, yet it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Man, they were flat broke, but they were given. They were in a great trial, but here they're full of joy. And Paul said this, he said, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Now here's what I want you to get. Refreshers are investors. Refreshers are investors. They first give themselves, and then they give their time. They give their emotional resources, and they give their strength. They give their resources to people. Now, how many of you know you can sow into people's lives? You can sow. A bottle of cold water gets attention in heaven. The prayer dances this year, I gave away 1,200 bottles of water. I thought, praise God, if I can give one bottle of water, I can give a whole refrigerator, I can give a whole truck full of if a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name gets a reward in heaven, I got 1,200 bottles. Next year, I'm going to double up, amen? Maybe 2,400, and we just load them up. But we can sow into people's lives, and I'm being very serious here. Now, you can help people when they're out of work. How many know it costs something to live in Northern Virginia? Eh? How many know if you're not on government health care, you're shelling out about $25,000 a year? How many know that? Eh? And if they're out of work, you can help them. If they're sick, you can sow into their lives. If they've had a tragedy. I was up in Belleville, West Virginia. I go to the big places. And up in Belleville, West Virginia, this is like the coal mining area, and it's a backwoods. I mean, you guys wouldn't believe the culture. You just wouldn't believe the culture. And there was this woman in this church. Her name was Granny Carpenter. Granny was 89 years old. Granny was married to a 91-year-old drunk. They lived in a shack you wouldn't put your pet in. I wouldn't put my pet in. I mean, I don't have a pet. I got goldfish, but she lived in a dump. She lived with a drunk. He was 91. She was 89, but she was happy in Jesus. She never questioned the existence of God. She never had any doubts about nothing. All she knew that God was good and Jesus was enough. And I went to this sermon. Every night I go to church, an old granny. She's an old Church of God woman. She'd come up. And she'd bring me a trinket, a gift, every night. One night, she brought me a comb. I can't remember if half the teeth were broke out of them or not, but she gave me just this cheap comb. I treasured it. One night, she brought me a lantern, like you'd win at a carnival. You know, the expensive Chinese stuff? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Just this little lantern, kind of a plaything right here. It didn't work, and might have been broke, but I want to tell you, if she had given me $500, I wouldn't have thought any more of it. I mean, she gave out of her poverty, and every night she'd come with some little gift, some little trinket, some little, people would say nothing, but it meant something to me. And I'm here to tell you, it meant something to God, because she was a giver. We're at the student prayer advance. My son got up and corrected me. He said, my dad said 13-year-olds don't have any money. He said, they got all kinds of money. I said, well, get up and milk them for it. I mean, I don't know what to do about this, but you know, the fact of the matter is, even young people, you can sow into the lives of people. I remember in Bible college, I'd go to my mailbox, and I'd have anonymous gifts all the time. And one guy on staff at Thomas Road, he came up and said, some church sent $700 and some for you. Do you want it? What kind of stupid question is that? Of course I want it. But people sowed into me. And listen, you need to listen to the voice of God in the matter of giving. You just need to listen to the voice of God. And if God prompts your heart to give somebody something, just go for it. Old Paul said this, I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Paul got refreshed by these three guys who gave a substance to help them. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. I'm here to tell you, if a cup of cold water is going to get a reward, praise God. We got lots of cups of cold water, amen? And we got some shekels we can throw at other people to help them along the journey. Now, can I give you a couple of ideas right here? You're out to eat over there. What's the name of that place? Michael's or Mike's? Mike's. All right. And you're out to eat over there at the diner. You know, the Mayberry RFD, Silver Diner over here. You know, you're out here eating. And all of a sudden, you see somebody over there sitting all alone. And they look like they're down on their luck. And they're picking it out because it looks like they hadn't eaten in quite a while. Tip. You could say to the waitress, hey, come here. Hey, look, you see that person over there? I want to buy their meal anonymously. Would you please bring me the check? And then give the tip too. Don't be cheap. Give the tip too. Amen? A tip. Don't leave a track if you ain't going to leave a tip. Don't know you're from a Baptist church if you don't leave a tip. So you got to leave a big tip. Now, when somebody is ugly to you as a waitress, just double it, triple it, quadruple it, because they're probably having a bad day, and they're just taking it out on you. I know one guy, this was like 40 years ago, he left a $20 tip, would be like a $100 tip now, for somebody who had been awfully rude, and the service was horrific, and he just left it, walked out, and she comes running out weeping and said, why in the world did you leave this? And he said, well, I figured you was probably having a hard day, and I just wanted to help you out. I know a girl, she's a waitress. I said, what's the biggest tip you've ever got? She said, $1,000. $1,000? Now, I'm not recommending a $1,000 tip. You need to make those out to ministries, amen? But you can be a blessing to people. Now, all right, here's this grandmother in the restaurant. And she's sitting over there. And she probably has never had very many people show favor to her. Y'all with me on this point right here? And she just looks like the type that maybe not a whole lot of people have shown a lot of favor. Get the waitress over there. Hey, look, I want to take care of this lady's tip over here. I want you to tell her that somebody purchased your meal and you are greatly appreciated. Just go tell her that. You can do stuff like that. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Make an adventure out of the thing, amen? Sow into people. You're going to reap what you sow, so and just go ahead and sow, do some sowing. And if you're a generous giver, I'm telling you, you can refresh people when you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit in this matter of giving. Now, number 7, you want to refresh people. Here's the primary thing. You got to be Spirit-filled. You got to be Spirit-filled. That means you got to keep your repentance current. Current. I was in the hotel this afternoon, minding my own business, just half in, half out, and all of a sudden, here comes this program of a bunch of adults running around in the jungle with no clothes on. Can you believe this? Idiots. And you know, I don't need to see this. Eh? I didn't do it on purpose this time. Thank God. At least it was unintentional. But there it was. How many know you got to work at staying right with God? You got to work at keeping your repentance current. I'm telling you, God is love. And when you're filled with His Spirit, you want to help people. That's why sometimes you got to pray, restore to me the joy of your salvation, God. Duncan Gamble said the greatest thing about a person is his unconscious influence. The greatest thing about a person is his unconscious influence. You know, the greatest thing about people is not what they do on purpose, but the influence they exude when they don't even realize it. And I'm here to tell you, when you're full up on the Spirit of God, you're going to help people. You're going to refresh people. You're just being around you is a blessing. How many of you know some people, when you get around them, you just feel better about everything? You know people like this? Now, people are looking for somebody to help them overcome their fears. People are looking for somebody to believe in them. People are looking for somebody to care for them. So be one of those people. And I want to tell you, the churches that care for one another and serve one another are communities of encouragement. I'll tell you about a church in Carolina. They have 400 people. This was a church. It had 400 people Sunday morning, 400 people Sunday night, 400 people Wednesday night. It was just about like that. It was incredible. So the pastor started a care ministry. You say, what was that all about? The one another commands in the New Testament. Pray for one another. Exhort one another. Bear one another's burdens. So he had a group of bird dogs, like he trained them. And they'd go to church, and they'd see somebody standing around or come in looking like they're in the dumps. And one of them would go over to him and just, hey, brother, how can I pray with you? How can I pray for you? And they would pour it out. Well, let's just pray right here and put their arm around him and pray for the guy. They trained him to look for people who looked like they had needs. They trained them to invite visitors out to eat that day. They trained them to invite people into their homes. How many of you know that even in Northern Virginia, even if you don't have a front porch, you can still have a ministry of hospitality? This is a thing of the past in our culture, but listen, that church went from 400 to 800, and all they did was practice New Testament one another commands. That's all they did different. Amazing. Now, prepare a mental list every morning. Your pastor mentioned this morning. Every day when you get up, now, Lord, who would you have me to encourage today? I already got people on my list for tomorrow. I got one person on my list. Lord, who would you have me to encourage today? Okay, Lord, how would you have me to encourage? A text, a call, an email, a Facebook note, a gift, a visit, a prayer. Listen, when you get a word like that, be passionate about your assignment. Just go for it. Jesus ministered to people who were hanging on the cross beside of him, and he was dying. And we ain't that bad off yet, amen? So Philemon refreshed the saints, and so should we. Listen, you've been shown mercy in order to show mercy. You have been blessed in order to bless. You have been lifted in order to lift. You have experienced peace in order to spread it. Purpose to inspire people. Inspire people. My father was 46 years old when I was born. How many know some of the best things in life are unanticipated? He's old enough to be my grandfather when I show up. I mean, I grew up in Southside Virginia in the middle of nowhere on a tobacco farm of all things. And I came to the Lord at a Christian movie at a public high school. And there was a guy that came and started independent, soul-winning, on fire, born again, Schofield-toting, Bible-believing, born again, excited Baptist church. I grew up in a deadpan liberal church, and man, these guys come in, got the fire of God all over them. So I show up, and here I show up. By this time, my hair is down to here, and it was black, all right, and like it was black, and I got my one-way sign on the back of my army jacket. Amen. I got that thing going right there. I got a Jesus Saves on my 71 yellow Pinto. I got a zip-up King James black cover version of the Bible. I put that on the top of everything. And anyway, they started out as a Bible study. It turned into a church. So I never seen anything like it. They talked about being saved. Wow. They talked about finding peace with God. Wow. They were excited. And I fell up in there with these people. I looked like something that, Woodstock or, Haight Ashbury. Don't look that up on the internet, all right? I just looked like something out of the rock culture, you know? And I just show up in there, you know, looking like a hippie, tore up jeans. And these people loved the daylights out of me. They never commented one negative word about what a scumbag I looked like, because my problem wasn't the way I was looking. I had deeper problems. And they loved me. I'm telling you, they accepted me. They became like my spiritual parents. I had more spiritual parents than I could shake a stick at. And these people just took me in. You know, it was so refreshing to be a part of a community of encouragement where people really loved me. Now, listen, purpose to inspire other people. Intentionally encourage other people. Just make it a life mission. Look for reasons to praise people. Look for reasons to praise people. Motivate others to meaningful goals. speak hope and faith into people. Now I'll give you an exercise. I want every one of you to think of somebody or some people, when you get around them, they light your fire. I want you to think about those people. When you get around them, buddy, you always get lifted up. I want you to think about those people. When you get around them, it's just that it benefits you. It helps you. You are refreshed. Everybody got somebody like that in mind? How many got somebody like that in mind? Lift your hand. Purpose to be one of those people. And whatever it is they're doing for you, you start doing it for other people. Every time I talk to Brother Mix on the telephone, he always signs off, "I love you." Always. That's an encouragement. I got a friend, when people get sick, he texts them. And he prays a prayer, like in the text, okay? Our Heavenly Father, bless so-and-so. And then he'll have an exclamation, amen. And then he'll say, "You are loved." Well, you think, what is he doing? He's encouraging people, man. He's refreshing people, and you can do that too. So purpose to be a refresher. Now, I want you to think tonight, all these things we've talked about here this evening. How many of you here tonight know right now of at least one person who needs refreshing? Lift your hand if you know at least one person. Just one. We all know somebody. Now, go out tonight and practice what we've talked about here this evening. You got that list of seven things. I apologize I didn't have a handout. But just go out and sow into somebody. And by the way, how many of you here tonight know that you need refreshment each and every day? You need it. Not everybody, but you know you need it. Well, if Jesus could minister to people when he was dying, we can minister to people while we're living. And I'm telling you what this will do. This will get us out of our self-focus, our self-pity. One lady one night in an afterglow, she said, "God convicted me. I've got a case of ingrown eyeballs." Poor little old me. Poor little old me. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people that's got a whole lot worse than what we've got it. And we ought to just focus on trying to minister to people, and it will help you to get your out of your pity party. And the only people that show up are you and the devil anyhow, so that's bad company in either case. So you to get out of your pity party, just go out and try to help somebody else. Amen. Encourage somebody. Be a blessing to somebody. And I'm telling you, you'll be better off. The kingdom of God will be better off. Everybody you get around will be a whole lot better off. And people will feel about you the way you feel about the people who help you and refresh you. We can all be refreshers. Amen? Let's stand tonight. Let's talk to the Lord about it. Purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart right now by praying for that person that's on your mind. Just pray for them right now. And purpose in your heart of how you are going to refresh them. Maybe your parents having a rough go. Maybe your family's having a hard time. Maybe your mother needs a word of praise and encouragement. Maybe your father, even if he's estranged. Maybe your brother, a sister, son, daughter, grandchild, church person, workmate. It can't make any difference whether they're saved or lost. But we can encourage people. We can refresh people. We can minister to people. Just tell the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to be self-centered, living just for me. But God, make me a fountain of vitality and life to impart spiritual energy to people." Just pray about that. Lord, make me a refresher. Now take to heart these notes of encouragement for those that taught you in Sunday school this morning. Those that blessed you through something. Just go out of your way. Make a lifestyle out of this. Father, tonight would you encourage our hearts to encourage others. Lord, let this church be known as a community of encouragement. And Father, may this contagion of a positive, loving, helpful, honest, caring, giving disposition be the character, the wharf and woof of this congregation. And Father, make us a blessing to you and your people and to others around us. Father, thank you for calling Pastor and Sister Mix to this place at such a time. And Father, thank you for their influence and their spirit. And Father, just put your hand of blessing upon this place. And Father, may many be tremendously helped for the glory of God. Lead us tonight, Lord, as we wait upon thee.
Amen. The altar's open. Second, and let's pray. Tomorrow school starts for many of you. Some people didn't have the joy you had this summer. Some people are just barely hanging on. They're coming to school hoping somebody will be kind rather than last year's responses.
My heart becomes free. And my shame is undone.
You don't know the life you'll save by being kind.
Your presence,
you don't know the soul you'll save by being kind.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Tomorrow, you teens are going to go to school with somebody whose life is a mess, somebody whose parents are... Their marriage is falling apart.
Lord.
Whose sibling has made a mess of things. You don't know. They're just looking for somebody to care.
More aware of your presence.
It's the same with the adults. Be at work tomorrow with somebody whose life is going off the rails.
Goodness.
Or the diagnosis came back bad. Father and our God, we love you, and we're thankful for the message and the messenger. Help us, Father, to be that encourager, that refresher every day. And Father, we pray that as we go from this place, that we'll take your word upon our lips and the testimony of how you've been a refreshment to us. And Father, may we share it with others. Bless us. Keep us safe. We'll come and worship you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man.